Begin the current daven sefer Yivam as daf tzadi. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, in the middle of daf pei tesem at Aleph, the Gemara introduced the following Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, because it was related to the discussion of our Mishnah of Havlad Mamzer from the two men, from a first husband and a second husband. And the Mishnah said that the Rabban had instituted that a person cannot take off from Tame produce as Truma to give to the Kohen for Tahar produce, because that's a loss for the Kohen. He can't use Tame Truma for that many things, can't consume it. However, if he did it, that will be considered halachically as Truma, and he can give that to the Kohen. But if he did it deliberately, the Mishnah said, L'osav L'kum, he has not done anything. So the Gemara's question was, what does that mean he has not done anything? So the Gemara Machlekes, if Chizkiah says, it's like he didn't take off Truma, halachically we viewed as nothing, and it's considered as Tevel as it was before. Reb Nosson Reb Ishiya said that, no, it's just that L'osav L'kum, to fix out the rest of his produce, to consider as if he had taken up Truma from the produce. However, it is Truma, and the Kohen gets that, and then you have to go ahead and take new Truma from Tahar produce. Now, one of the big questions that the Gemara had on Amud Beis from Rabbi to Rav Chisda was, how can you say that? As the Gemara had proved from Rabbi Loi, that after the fact, although we're telling you not to take off from Tamei Truma for Tahar produce, but there's a pasuk that says that we see that if you take from Ra on Yafa, if you take from Tame on Tahar, that after the fact it is considered Truma Midairaisa. So you're saying, but you're considering it as Tavel because we're concerned that the person might be negligent. If we say it's considered Truma, he's not going to take off what we require rabbinically as new Truma for the Kohen to get Truma that's Tahar. But how can you say something that's biblically Truma, as we prove in the Pasuk, and because of your rabbinic concern, you're going to consider Tchulin? Could the rabbis come and uproot a biblical halacha that is biblically we consider this as truma? A non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. There's many halachas related to that. Now, you say, no, don't consider it truma, because if we said it's truma, he's not going to go ahead and take off another truma, which we want him to, so that the Kohen gets his truma tahira. But that would be considered, essentially, as a rabbinic law overriding and uprooting a biblical halacha. You can have non-Kohanim eating potentially this truma, which is biblical prohibitions. So that the Gemara continued on Amud Beis of Daf Pei Tes, trying to find sources for Rav Chisda to say that yes, you see this concept of that it's koyach biyad bezdin, lakar dov metre, that bezdin have the right at some times to uproot biblical law, which the Gemara had refuted all those sources that Rav Chisda attempted to bring a raya. So the Gemara continues with that on this daf, again trying to bring proofs for Rav Chisda that it is within the domain of the rabbis to uproot biblical law, and therefore they could say that even that Tamei Truma, which essentially biblically is Truma, but the rabbis could say that it's not, and it'll be Chayzul Atifloi, so that this person will go ahead and take off Truma Taira to give to the Kohen. Someone says, Toshima. So rather come in here a different proof, and we'll try to attempt to prove Rav Chisda's halacha from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Achol Truma Tamea. If a non-Kohen eats by mistake Truma that's Tomei. So the halacha is Meshalim Chulin Tahar. He has to pay back Chulin that's Tahar. As the Pasuk says in Mirkach of Beis, that it says Venosin La Kohen as HaKodesh, you have to give the Kohen that which is holy, which the Gemara explains in Masechet Pesachim. It means something that's fit to be holy, meaning by giving it, by Venosin La Kohen, by giving it to Mitzvah, going to be Kodesh, which that's a reference to food, can't give money. That's Chulin, that's Tahar, that when he gives it to him, it's going to turn into Truma. That's how you pay back if you ate Truma, even that's Tameh. Now, however, the Braisa says, if Shilam Chulin Tameh, but let's say he pays back Tameh Chulin, not Chulin that's Tahar. So, Sumchus Oimim Shimre Meir says it depends. If Bishagig, meaning when you paid back the Tameh Chulin by mistake, you thought the Chulin you were giving him was Tahar, then Tashlum, and then your payment will be considered a valid payment. But Bemezid in Tashlum of Tashlum, if he did it deliberately, he said, no, I'm not going to give him my good stuff, I'm going to give him my chulin that's Tamei. So then we penalize the person and say that's not considered a valid payment. The Chacham Aymerim, they say, both cases, whether deliberately or inadvertently, the halach is going to be, it's going to be considered payment. But we penalize you and you have to go get another payment of chulin that's tar. That's the price. Now, before we bring a pariah to Rav Chisda, the Gemara says that Avavina, but we had asked an elementary question in Remeir's opinion. Remeir said, "B'mezin in tashlum, if you did it deliberately, that is, you're supposed to give chulin that's tahar. Instead of giving chulin that's tahar, you give chulin that's tamei. So if you did it deliberately, then it's not considered a valid payment. Now, the question we had asked was, what do you mean? Tavir lav bracha. What do you mean? The guy should get blessings for what he's trying to do. Why do we penalize him? In other words, what wrong is being done here that we're saying, oh, you deliberately did that wrong? We're going to penalize you. What do you mean? Even if he knows that this chulin is tamei, he's still intending to pay back an appropriate repayment. Because, as the Gemara explains, the Achamine Midi like Chazile Bimei Tumasai, what did he consume? He consumed something that wasn't fit for the Kohen to consume even in the days that he's Tameh. That's because Truma that's Tameh is never fit for a Kohen to eat. If he's Tahar, then he has a positive commandment not to eat it, as the Gemara explains on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And if he's a Kohen that's Tameh, then he actually gets killed for that. Because the pasuk doesn't differentiate when the kohen's body is tamei, whether he's consuming kachem truma that's tahar or that it's tamei. So regarding truma tamei that the non-kohen ate, okay, so you have to pay back the principal and the fifth. But what did he consume from the kohen? Nothing that's so great for the kohen, because the kohen can never eat it, even when he's tamei. Yet what's he repaying? He's repaying something, at least he's attempting to repay something that is a higher level that at least the Kohen can consume when he's Tameh. Now, Rashi explains that although ultimately, though he's giving him Chulin that's Tameh, the Kohen could eat Chulin Tameh when he's Tameh, but when he pays it, as we explained before, it actually becomes Truma, so therefore it's not fit for the Kohen when he's Tameh. But the point that the Gemara is trying to bring out is, but the person, whatever you're calling deliberately, as if you did, you knew you're doing something wrong, that he's not. He's trying to give him a chulin that's tamei. Now, yes, it's going to become truma tamei when he gives it to him. That's the status it gets. So then he's not going to be able to eat it, but it's definitely not worse than what he consumed. So why is it that we're calling him a deliberate sinner and saying that, okay, you're going to be penalized. Why are you being penalized? Why do we say it's not teshlumen teshlumen? It should be considered a good payment. Now, v'amar Rav, and Rav had said, v'amar le kedi, and some say whether kedi is the name of an amayru or means without a specific tana who said, well, a person who said it, but the answer for this brisa was that you're right, chasuri mechsri, v'achikitani, that word's missing from this brisa, and this is the way it should be said. Achal truma tameh, tameya, you're right, if truma that's tameh was eaten, then misham kaldu, then anything can be used as repayment, meaning even chulun that's tameh, as we explained, because what's wrong? You're not doing anything worse than what you consumed. But the machlekes was regarding the next case, and these are the words that are missing. Achal truma tahira, if truma that's tahar was eaten, then Misham Chulin Tameh. Then for sure you have to repay what you had eaten was tahar. So you have to pay back Chulin that's tahar. That then becomes Truma Tahara. Now that the machlokes was if Shilim Chulin Tamein, if in spite of that he pays back Chulin that's Tamei, not Tahar. So that's where Simchas Amim Misham Remeir, that B'shaigig, if you did it inadvertently, then Tashlum of Tashlumen. Then the Tashlumen will be a Tashlumen. And that's as Rashi explains elsewhere in Masechtas Gittin. The reason is because actually the halacha of someone that eats truma b'shoigig, the requirement that the Torah says for repayment is according to measurement, not according to value, not according to the monetary aspect of it. And therefore, although this truma that's tameh, meaning you're giving chulun that's tameh that becomes truma, is worse than what he had eaten, because he had eaten something that was tahar, still minat tahar, biblically, that's considered payment. Now, the Rabbanan, however, did not penalize him since he had done it b'shagi. He didn't mean to. He meant to give chulun that's tahar. He didn't realize it's tameh. Okay, it's considered a valid payment because biblically that's the halacha. But b'mezid, if it was done deliberately, that's where Rameir is coming to say that ain't tashlumen tashlumen. That's not a tashlumen, and there we penalize you. The Chacham said, bein b'shagi bein b'mezid, tashlumen of tashlumen, whether you did it deliberately or inadvertently, it's considered valid payment. But what they're saying is, but we do penalize you, you have to go back and make another payment of chulun nektar. That's the brisa. Now, the Gemara concludes the raya for Rav Chisda. But v'hacha, and here you have, by the halacha of Remeir, d'mederaisa tashlumim al yahav. You have here that the payment is considered a full-fledged payment. And the reason is, as we explained on the previous daf from Rabbi Loi, that chulun that's tameh is also fit to be Kaidish, in other words, to be considered Truma, although b'diyavet, but it's considered Truma. And moreover, the Makadish bu Kain Isha, if let's say Kain would be Makadish a woman with this Truma that he was given that is on a lower standard, let's say that's considered Tameh, Tavsila Kedushe, That would be a valid kedushin. It's considered his truma that he can go ahead and use to engage a woman. And yet, v'amur rabbanan, which Rashi explained, that's a reference to a mayor who we're asking from. He says, "Ein tashlum of tashlumin." His payment is not considered payment. V'kasharina neishes shishlama. You know what that comes out is? Is that we're going to allow a biblical married woman to marry someone else? Because what we're saying is that he gave the kohen truma. He gave him what's tameh, chulin tameh. Now, that is, but we want him to, but that's what we say. We really want him, since he did it deliberately, we want him to give him chulin tahirin, because that's what he had consumed. He had consumed truma that's tahar. So we got to give him back chulin tahar. He gave him chulin that's tameh, which becomes truma that's tameh. Now, biblically, that's considered truma, because truma that's tameh is considered valid truma. Now, if the kohen would go ahead and use that, before we went and said, no, this is wrong, we got to give it back, ain't tashlum tashlum, he's got to give chulin that's tahar to make it into truma tahar. If he gets engaged to a woman, biblically that's considered a valid marriage. Now the rabbis come and say, no, that's not a good payment, you got to undo the whole thing. That's rabbinic law. Rabbinic law say we want to penalize him, and therefore we say what he had done is not valid, and we got to go ahead and do a new thing. So you see, Rav Chisda's halacha, that Bez didn't have it within their authority to uproot a biblical halacha. So that's the Gemara answers now. Mayin tashlum of tashlum in the kamer mei. You know what your mayor means when he says that the payment's not a payment? It just means the boy lemahadir shlumi chulun tahirin, that you got to pay up a new payment. We say, no, that's, we're not going to let you get away with that. But, of course, it's considered a payment. In other words, the kohen gets it. It's truma. Even though it was truma that's tummy, and he gets married to a woman, she's considered married. When we say it's not considered a payment, we mean to say you didn't fulfill your obligation of payment, and you got to pay a new payment of chulun that's tar. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's what the mayor means, well then Sumchis Hain Rabbanan. Sumchis, who said this Aloha Nimr Meir, is the same as Rabbanan, because that's what Rabbanan said. Rabbanan said that Tashlumin is Tashlumin, meaning the coin gets to keep it, which you're saying that Remeir agrees to. You just got to pay a new payment. Well, that's what you're saying Sumchis said. So that Amar Ravacha, Berid Rav Ikka, he says, you're right. Regarding Mazid, deliberately, we're explaining in Remeir that the payment's a payment, but you got to pay a new payment. There they both agree. It's only by Kansu Shagu Atamezid Ikabinai. The difference between them is regarding, do we penalize when he does it by mistake, inadvertently, based on the halacha when he does it deliberately? And that is, Remeir holds that no. When he does it b'shagik, as he says clearly, then Tashlumon b'Tashlum is considered a good payment, and that you don't have to go ahead and pay a new payment, a chul netzar. And that's what the Rabbanu come to say, and to argue by b'shagik. And they say, no, whether it's done b'mezid or even b'shagig, you have to go ahead and make a new payment. So yes, it's payment, but you got to go ahead and make a new payment, and that's where they're arguing. But you're right, regarding b'mezid, the halacha is, we're not uprooting a biblical halacha, because it is truma, and we keep it on the biblical status. We just penalize him and make a new payment of chul and netzar. So, no raya for Rav Chisda. So the Gemara continues, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following braisa to Rav Chisda, that it is within the authority of Beis Din to uproot even biblical law. Halacha is that dam shenitma, regarding the blood of a carbon that became tameh, so one's not allowed to go out and spray that, which is the hazah, the zrikas adam on the mizbeach, on the altar. If it became tameh, you're not allowed to throw that on the mizbeach. However, the braisa says, if vizarko, if the person, in spite of that, throws the tameh blood on the mizbeach, so b'shagig hortz, if it was done inadvertently, then that's considered a ritzoy, it's an appeasement. It's considered that the process of the carbon, which the primary atonement of the carbon is with the zrikas adam, it's considered that it's accepted. But b'mezid lehortza, if it was done deliberately, he knew it was tameh, and he did it anyway, then we don't consider that an appeasement as a fulfillment of the carbon. Now, so the Gemara proves, v'ahacha d'mede reisar tzuyeh meratze. Here, we're biblically, if one goes ahead and throws the tameh blood on the mizbeach, even if it was deliberately, it's considered an appeasement, that is through the tzitz, the plate that the kohen wore on his forehead, provides an atonement and lets it go, so to speak, even though it was tameh. The time, like we learned, the braisa says, al ma hatzitz meratzah. Regarding what do we say that the tzitz that the kohen gadol wears provides an atonement, like lets it slide, even though it wasn't done appropriately? That the braisa says, al adam, regarding the blood of the carbon, valabasra, and on the flesh of the carbon, valachelev, and on the fats, which those are called the emurim that are put on the mizbeach, shenitma, which became tamei, Now the Braisa says, Bein Mishagim, Bein Bemezid, whether inadvertently or even deliberately, Bein Ba'ainis, Bein Meratzin, whether it was against a person's will or whether it was done willingly, Bein Meyachad, Bein Metzibah, whether it's for an individual or for the public, and that is either way, even when it's Bemezid, it will be a Ritzui. Now, yet in spite of that, this is what the Gemara proves, V'amir Rabbanu Lehortz, still we see in that first Braisa we quoted, that the Rabbi said if it was done deliberately, it will not be accepted, and therefore you see, and therefore, and because of that, what's going to come out if you bring a carbon that the blood became tame and deliberately it was thrown on the mizbeach? So biblically, that's considered valid. So you're done with your carbon. But the rabbis say, no, we're not considered that accepted. So what's going to happen? The person's going to have to bring another carbon because you have to fulfill your obligation. Now, biblically, that new carbon is chulin, it's unconsecrated, it doesn't have a status of a carbon, because let's say you bring carbon chatos, it's not a chatos, so it's chulin. That's a biblical violation to bring chulin to the Azara, and yet we see that it's within the rabbi's authority to require you to bring a new carbon, which that's going to be overriding a biblical halacha. So Amar B'Yisbar Chanina says, no, my lo hearts of the kama, what does the Braisa mean when it says that if you threw the blood deliberately, it's not going to be an appeasement? That's only lahatar basa b'achila. That's only, we don't consider it a valid zrikas dam, which that's what permits the flesh of the carbon to be eaten. The owners and the bialim could only eat it, and the kaim could only eat it after the zrikas adam was done. That we're saying, that's not considered a valid zrika, hence you cannot eat the flesh of a bialim, the skapa, but yes, we hold that it is considered, as the biblical halacha is, that it's a valid carbon, and therefore the owners get an atonement, and therefore they will not have to bring another carbon, and they're not going to encounter this biblical problem of having chul lazar. But still, Rav Chizr responds, but save. Ultimately, even you're agreeing that kamas akar achilas basar, but you're uprooting the consumption of the flesh. You're saying that that's not considered a valid zrika to allow the meat to be eaten. But Rav is a passing in Shemais that says this is a positive commandment, that you should eat these meats, which it creates an atonement with this. Now, Malamed, what that teaches is that the priests eat the meat, and through their consumption, actually, that provides an atonement for the owners. So you see that there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah for the kam to eat the meat. Now, biblically, the kam are allowed to eat that meat because it's considered a hartzah of the tzitz on the zrikas dam that's tama, even though it's done b'mezid. Yet the Chacham is saying that no, you can't eat the meat because it was done deliberately. So you see, it's koyach b'at Chacham lakar devim minat tayram. So that the Gemara answers a very fundamental principle in this halacha. The Amalei is a response to Rav Chizda, shev al tasa shani. When it's in the category of just sit and don't do anything, that's not considered uprooting of biblical halacha. And that is, for example, in this case of the consumption of the meat, which that's a positive commandment. When the rabbis say, shev, sit and don't eat it, that's not actively uprooting biblical law. It's just passive. It's by default that it gets uprooted. That is within the domain of the rabbis to do. But by the case that you're discussing, Rav Chizda by Truma, where when you're defining lo asa v'lo klum, he hasn't done anything, and that we say the Truma that he took off, which biblically is Truma, you're removing the Truma status, which is a biblical law, and saying it's chulin, that is literally uprooting biblical law and saying that it's not, that it's chulin, and you're encountering all these halachic problems, which is in Akira, and therefore there's no riot to your halacha. Shev al tasa is within the domain, but that wouldn't prove your point of doing an active uprooting of biblical law. Now, based on this answer the Gemara gives to Rav Chizda, that it's not a raya, so Amalei, we continue on Talmud Beis, Rav Chizda tells Rabbi, he says, look, what you just did, that boi lo oisavach, I wanted to ask you all the following questions, which are essentially, would seem to prove my point, that it's within the domain of the rabbis to uproot biblical law. And they are the following. And what he's going to say is that, but based on what you just told me, all my questions don't apply. First one is oral. That's a reference to a Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim Daf Tzadi Beis. That the terminology of the Mishnah over there is that someone that separates from the foreskin, in other words, that he had circumcision, it's like separating from the grave. Which essentially that means is that a non-Jew that converts on Erev Pesach, then although he's Jewish now, they cannot slaughter the Karm Pesach for him on that day for him to bring it that year. Now, the Gemara explains that the reason of Beis Hillel is because we're concerned that maybe he was Tamei, let's say, that day or the day before. Now, when he became Jewish, he has certain processes that allows him to become Jewish. Now, the tumah that he had as a non-Jew is not considered halachically as tumah. So then, yes, he could bring the Korban Pesach that night, but then the following year, if he would become tumah the day before Pesach, he would also think that now that he can go ahead and purify himself and then that night go ahead and bring the Korban Pesach, which the truth is you have to wait 7 days. And therefore, the rabbis decreed and said that no, even when he becomes Jewish Erev Pesach, maybe he became Tamer before and he's going to confuse it for the next year and think he doesn't have to wait 7 days, he cannot bring the Korban Pesach. Now that's a rabbinic decree, which is uprooting a biblical law of bringing the Korban Pesach. Moreover, the second proof I was going to bring was Hazah, which that's to spray on the person that's Tomei, which that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, which if, let's say, Shabbos falls out on Erev Pesach. So if you want to go out and purify yourself so that you can have the Korban Pesach and eat it that night, which will be tar by that point already, on that, the rabbis say that no. And that's in spite of the fact that Hazah itself is a rabbinic law. It's only a rabbinic prohibition to do that on Shabbos. No biblical Lamates Malachas being done in it. And yet in spite of that, what's going to come out is because of this rabbinic law of not allowed to do Hazah, and we won't let you override Shabbos, you're not going to be able to bring, again, your Korban Pesach that night, which is again overriding a biblical halacha. Or vizemel, another proof I was going to bring was from the circumcision knife, which the rabbis say that you cannot bring it. Let's say you have to do a bris milah on Shabbos, but you don't have the knife, but someone in the neighboring house has it. You're not allowed to bring it even through if you go through a path of roofs or karfifas, which are enclosed areas which are only rabbinically considered problematic to transport on Shabbos. And yet we don't allow you to do that, so a rabbinic law is going to be overriding a biblical law of doing a circumcision in its appropriate time on the eighth day. Another proof was sadin b'tzitzis, having a linen garment to put on tzitzis, which are wool, which that's the problem of klayim, but biblically that's actually permitted. As the pasuk says in Baruchav Beis, it says, Leisil b'shatnis, not allowed to wear shatnis, which is a mixture of wool and linen. But the pasuk says over there, gedilim taslach, that is, biblically, you're allowed to make tzitzis out of klayim. But the rabbis decreed that no, because if one is wearing a night garment, that is actually exempt from tzitzis. Now, if we allow you to wear klayim, having a linen garment with wool tzitzis, you might come to do it shaloi b'makom mitzvah, let's say, by a night garment. As the Gemara says, b'sachas is malchus, and if we don't allow it, so you see the rabbi's concern is overriding a biblical law of having tzitzis. Let's say wearing a linen garment, you're not going to put on tzitzis. Another proof was v'kivitz ha'atzeres, which means the lambs of Shavuos, which there's two lambs that are brought, which Rashi says he didn't receive a tradition of what that's a reference to, but Rashi thinks that the appropriate interpretation of this is from a Tosefta, which actually brought a Masechtas Beis on Nafchavim Beis, which says the following halacha, that regarding the lambs that are brought in Shavuos, if they were slaughtered shaloi lishman, not for the purpose of the kivitz ha'atzeres, but let's say for the intention of it being a different carbon. So the halacha actually is that on Shavuos you can go ahead and throw the blood and the meat could be eaten. And the reason is because any carbon that's slaughtered, shaloi lishma, not for its sake, but rather for the sake of a different carbon, is still valid. It's just that it's what's called shaloi l'bayal l'shem chayva, it has not fulfilled the obligation of the owner that's bringing it. But it's considered like a regular carbon shlamim, and that you could bring on the Yom Tov, because for consumption purposes you can do all these different halachas. Now, however, if it was Shabbos, if let's say Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, now the halacha is on Shabbos you're only allowed to slaughter animals as a carbon only if they're done lishman. But this person who made a mistake and by mistake slaughtered shaloi lishman, so actually the halacha is that lo yizrik, you're not allowed to spray the blood. But if you sprayed it, okay, then it will be considered hurtza. Now, but you're not allowed to. Now, what you see over here is that the zrikas hadam on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do that, is only rabbinic law. As the Gemara there says, Shani Shavuos, that it's a Shavuos of Shabbos. Yet in spite of that, the halacha is brought over there, that law yizrik. So a rabbinic law of not spraying blood, which is only rabbinic law, will be uprooting three positive commandments. There's a positive commandment of a carbon to throw the blood, to sacrifice the fats and the sacrificial parts, and to eat the meat. And yet you see that because rabbinic law of Zrikas Dam, which is only rabbinic violation, will be uprooting three biblical laws. Moreover, the shayfer v'lulav, you have the halachas of blowing the shayfer and shaking the lulav, which are positive commandments, but the rabbis say on Shabbos, you don't shake it. because they're concerned that you might come to carry it, Dal Ramas and Rishus Rabim, so you have a rabbinic concern, overriding biblical law. So he says, I was going to ask you all these questions, but Hashtad Deshonis Lon Sheval Tassel, Loi Mi'akru, but now that you answered me, as we quoted on the bottom of Amud Aleph, that when the rabbis are just saying, refrain and don't do something, that they're allowed to, that's not considered uprooting, they're not removing biblical law, they're just saying don't do anything, act passive, that's not considered uprooting. So Kulinam Mishaval Tassin, and so that already took away the thrust of all these proofs, because they're also all included in the category of refrain and don't do, don't shake, don't spray, don't bring, don't, all these cases are not proofs for what Rav Chisda needs for his halacha, which is actually uprooting biblical law of saying what's actually truma to make that into chulin. But these wouldn't be rise because they're shel batasim. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof for Rav Chisda. Toshima, come and bring a rise from the following brisa. The pasuk in the Varm that says, it talks about listening to a true prophet, a Navi Emes. So it says in the pasuk in the Varm Yudches Tetzvav, it says, Navi Mikir Becha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, a prophet from amongst you, Me'achecha, Kamayni, from your brothers like me, Yakum Lecha, Hashem Lekecha, Hashem your God will place for you. So then Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, a love Tishmon, to them, to these prophets, you should listen. Now, what the Brisa says that means is, Afilo Eimelecha, Afor Al Achas Mikom Mitzvah Shabbatar, even if he tells you to violate one of the commandments in the Torah, meaning, in other words, if this person has already been established as a Navi Emes, that we know he's a true prophet, and now the prophet is telling you to violate even one of the biblical laws, like Eliyahu HaNavi on Mount Carmel, where he sacrificed a carbon on a bama, which that's a private altar, which that was actually at a time of Isra Bamas, that you cannot bring a carbon on a private altar, has to be brought only in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have the punishment of Karis, of slaughtering out of the Beis HaMikdash. You have the punishment of Karis, of Halah, of bringing such an animal on the Mizbeach. And yet still the Torah is telling you, you listen to him, HaKol Lefi Shasham Aloy, everything according to the appropriate time. You listen to him if he deems it necessary. So you see, it's within later authorities to uproot a biblical law. So the Gemara says, no, it's no Raya, Shani Hasan, the Chsiv, Lof Tishmon. You're right, there it's different, because the Torah tells you, you listen to the prophet. But if the Torah doesn't tell you, like the rabbi is coming and saying to uproot biblical law, you cannot listen to him. So the Gemara puts Beligmim in there. Why don't we learn from there? You see that it's with an authority of later righteous people to uproot biblical law. So the Gemara answers, no, the Migdar Milsa, to make offense and to rectify something, which that's what Eliyahu HaNavi was coming to do over there, because the Jewish people were idol worshippers, and he was coming to remove them from this inappropriate situation, Shani, that's different. In other words, that was an extenuating circumstances to help the Jewish people. That is what the Pasuk is telling you, to listen to such type of prophets. But just generally, for rabbis to override biblical law, that's not allowed, and therefore there's no raya to Rav Chisda's halacha. So now the Gemara continues Toshima. The Gemara attempts to bring a raya from the following brisa, which is in reference to a different halacha. The halacha is that a husband that sends a get to his wife, he wants to divorce her. Now, before the get comes to her, he comes to her, or he sends a messenger to her, and he says, look, the get that I have sent you, it's on its way. I just want to tell you, it's nullified. It's not a good get. So halacha is, it's batal, because it never got to her. And it only is considered validly as affecting divorce when she got it. And it's still within his domain to say, it's not a get that I want to give you. Now, the Mishnah says in Masechta Gittin that originally what people would do is that they would send the get, and then they would regret it. They would make their own best in their own court in a different place and nullify it, and they wouldn't even tell her about it. Now, Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken and Rabbi Gamliel the Elder made an institution. He says, and you can't do that. Because what's called tikkun olam, because what's going to happen is that sometimes he'll nullify it. She won't know. She gets the get. She's going to get married. Her children are going to be illegitimate children, because turns out he nullified it and she didn't know about it. Now, regarding that is what the following brisa says. Let's say bitloy. Let's say, even after this institution of Rimuliel, someone nullified the get in front of a bezdin in a different place. So on that, the brisa says, mevutal, it is considered nullified, divrei Rebbe, because ultimately, that is the halacha. Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken said not to do that, but this person went anyways and did it. So it's nullified, and it's not a good get. That's divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken says, ein yachol, no, the person cannot be loy levatle, not to nullify it, and not even loy lehoisavat to know. You can't even add on to his conditions in this get. And the reason is, because Im Kain, if that would be the case that he could, Well, then, makoich bezin yavo. What would be the strength that we give to bezin if they instituted not to do that, and people could go ahead and do it, and we consider halachically valid? So, what would be the power that we're giving to bezin if anyone could do whatever they want anyway? So that's the machlokes in that brisa. Now, v'ha'acha, in this case, Rav Chisda says, "Dimidereisa batal get." Biblically, everyone agrees that it is a nullification of the get. Because biblically, he could be mevatel until he gets to our hand, as it says in the passage in Devarim Chavdal, it says, "Benosim b'yoda," he gives the get into our hand, which means that up until it comes into our hands, it's not a get yet. And yet, we find, which is what Mishim Lil is saying, Mishim ma koich bezdin, and because of this taina that he has, because of what would be the power we give to bezdin, kasherinan eishes ishli alma, we're permitting essentially a married woman to marry other people. Because biblically, she's still married. That's not a valid get. Yet the rabbis are saying, no, it's not considered nullification. So we have the rabbis uprooting a biblical law. So I think Amaran says, another fundamental principle in this scheme of being mevatel divrei Torah, that it's very different when it comes regarding kiddushin, regarding marriage. Because manda mekadesh, someone that gets engaged, that gets married, adaita drabana mekadesh, he's doing it with the intention and within the framework that the sages instituted in how marriage works. And that's actually the terminology that we use when a person gets engaged, that they use kedas Moshe b'Yisrael, like the law of Moshe and the Jewish people. So essentially, he's giving the power of attorney to the rabbis to define it. Now, vafkin rabbanu, so what the rabbis do is through this get, they are removing likidushin. They remove the original kedushin. In other words, the original money, the ring that was given to the woman, they say retroactively, you know what that was? You said it's within our framework to define what it is. It was considered a gift. And that's always the law when it comes to monetary law, which is hefker, bezin, hefker. Bezin could say that what you gave her wasn't yours. It was ownerless. Bezin has the rights, as we said in the previous daf, to define who's the owner of this money. Therefore, you didn't give her anything. It was always hers. So, you're right that although biblically this is not a get, but you were never married because you based your marriage based on the sages. And the sages say, fine, you know, you're doing this thing of being mevatel. We don't like that. You were never married. Now, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina asked Ravashi, he says, okay, hatenich de kodesh bekas, but that makes sense when the engagement was based on money. Then you could say that the rabbis removed that, as we said, hefka, bezin, hefka, and they made the money into a gift. But kaddish b'biyamai, there's three ways of being a kaddish a woman. If he got engaged to her through cohabitation, so my what type of removal ikalameme can you say on the biya? In other words, what would you be classifying the cohabitations? In other words, he did cohabit with her. Now that's obviously kedushin. By money, you could say that it wasn't his money; it was a gift. You can define it in different ways, but cohabitation with another woman, if it's not marriage, then what is it? So that the Gemara says, he responded to me, says that no. Since, again, when it comes to marriage, the person that's getting married is basing on rabbinic interpretation of the law, and the rabbis say when you give such a get that you're being mevatel, then they are shavir rabbanan libilos ebilesnus, that the rabbis can define, again, what you're doing to get engaged, whether it's money, as we said before, or even cohabitation, they define it. It was an act of immorality, nothing to do with marriage. And they could retroactively say that all the acts of cohabitation were ones of znus, and you were never married because they could define the marriage or not. So they're not uprooting biblical law by saying that it is a get. No, you're right, biblically it's not a get. But the person was never married, so they don't have to uproot the biblical law of saying there's not a get. So the Gemara says, Toshamal is trying to bring a different proof for Rav Chisda. The Braisa says, Amr Balaza ben Yaakov, he says, Shemati, I heard, Shebezdin makin va'inshin shaloymanat taira, that the courts can give lashes and punishments not based on biblical law, but the leilam v'divertayim, not that they're coming to uproot biblical law, elalasa siyog l'tayra, but rather to make a fence around taira and to try to persevere and preserve the biblical law. Meaning, although biblically that's not the correct punishment, therefore that should be against biblical law. He's saying it's not against biblical law, it's actually trying to enforce it. As he says, with Ma'isa Ba'ad Mechad, there was an incident with a certain person. Sharachav al sus b'Shabbos b'mei Yevanim. He was riding on a horse on Shabbos in the days of the Greeks. Now, that's actually only rabbinic law. as the Gemara brings the Masechtas Beya, that not going on a tree or riding on an animal is rabbinic law. Now, ve'hevi'u lebezin uskulu, and they brought him to Bezin, and they stoned him to death, like someone that was a real Machal Shabbos of biblical proportion. Now, again, lo'ibim ne'sharo lekach, not because that was fitting for him, that wasn't biblical law, it's just that the moment required it to show people that we're not going to allow any violations of law, of Jewish law. Similarly, v'shuv ma'isabad mecha, there was another incident with another man, she'tiach be'ishtei tachasata ina, that he cohabited with his wife under a fig tree, which was out in the open, ve'viu lebezin ve'hilku, and they brought him to Bezin, and they gave him lashes. Now, lo'im ne'sharo lekach, that's not biblical law, that someone that cohabits out in the open gets lashes. It's just that the moment necessitated, because it was a time of tzara for Jewish law, and people were pirates in the sin of immorality, so they said they're going to give him lashes. Now, but one thing you see over here is that the rabbis were uprooting biblical law, because you're not allowed to give capital, but you can't kill somebody. That's a biblical violation of murder. Yet they did it because of rabbinic concern. So you see, it's within the rabbi's domain to uproot biblical law. Now, the Gemara says, as we said before, Migdar Mil Sashani. No, to uphold biblical law, to make a geder, and to enforce the biblical law, that's different, and that wouldn't be a raya of a generic principle of within the domain of rabbis to uproot biblical law. And therefore, the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying that there's no proof for Rav Chisda that it's within the domain of the rabbis to uproot biblical law. And therefore, we really remain with a question that was asked on him by Rabba, and to say, how can you say that when the person takes off truma tameya for the tar, that loy asa klum v'loy ikri, didn't do anything, and that we even say that that's considered tevel, well, that would be a rabbinic law overriding biblical law, and we never find such a source for that in halacha. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So we said, regarding this woman that heard from one witness that her husband had died, so she goes ahead and marries another man. Turns out, her husband walks into town, he's still alive. So he said that she has to be removed from both men. And one of the things we said was, we said many penalties, as we said, because we were lenient for the iguna, so we were stringent, was v'lay zeva zemetamala. So neither one of these men can defile themselves regarding to bury her. Then I'll be metama to her, if they're a kohen. So the question is, Manolan, we don't know this halacha from, because essentially her husband is still married to her. It's just that all her maisim was nus with the other man. Where do we find such a source for this that he cannot be metamata? So the Gemara says, it says a pasuk miyikra. It says, ki im l'sh'eiroi ha'karvalam. The kohen is not be metame. He's not make himself ritually impure by defiling himself with a corpse, except for the following close relatives. And one of them is his she'er, his relative that's close to him. Now, v'amamar, the master had explained, she'er is ishta, that's a reference to his wife. He's allowed to be metame himself to his wife to bury her. Now, it says afterwards over there that lo yitame bal ba'amav lehechaloi, that a husband is not allowed to make himself impure to his people to become desecrated. So the question is, so is he allowed to be metame to his wife or not? So the understanding is that yesh bal she metame, there is a husband that could be metame, but yesh bal she in metame, there's a husband that cannot be metame himself. How do you understand that? So metame hu le'ishlik shera, he could be metame himself to his valid kosher wife, meaning that's in a regular marriage. But he cannot be metame himself to the invalid wife, meaning to his wife that was mizana, to one that he's inappropriately married to, where we say that she's asur labal and to the boil, and therefore that's where we see this precept of that the husband cannot be metame himself to his wife. Now, another penalty we imposed on this woman was, as we said in the Mishnah, that now neither one of these husbands can merit her find that a lost thing that she finds, where generally if a woman finds something, the husband gets it. Here he doesn't. So the Gemara explains the reason is because time am I umra banan mitzis ishul abayla. What was the reason why the rabbi said that in general, when the woman finds something, it goes to her husband? It's kihechid loy tahavale eva, is that he shouldn't have hatred towards her because, you know, what you find should go to me. But hacha tahavala eva veva, here, let him have hatred and let him have a lot of hatred to her, because actually the halacha is that we want him to divorce her. We usually don't want hatred because we want him to stay married, but here we want him to divorce him. That's the halacha, and therefore we say that no, don't get the mitziah and you'll have hatred, and therefore you'll do what the halacha requires in divorcing her. Now the Mishnah said, moreover, neither one of these husbands get uvemaisi da. They don't get her earnings. Whatever she makes, they don't get. As the Gemara explains, Time of my Amr Abana Maisideh Labalo. What's the reason why generally a husband gets the earnings of his wife? Is Mishum de Ka'ach Lemezaini? Because he has to feed her. Saying, look, I'm doing all this for you. So you make earnings, you bring it back into the bank account, you bring it back to me. Hacha, Kivin de Mezaini Lesla. As we said, one of the penalties is that she doesn't get Mezainis. They don't feed her. So Maisideh, Lavdi Day. So therefore, her earnings don't go to them because, again, that's counter for that. And she's not getting Mezainis, so they don't get Maisideh. Moreover, the Mishnah said, none of the husbands can nullify her vow. Now, as the Gemara explains, time in my Amr Rahmana Baal Mefer, what's the reason why generally a husband could nullify the vows of his wife? Is Kadesh Leitaskana, so she shouldn't become disgusting to him. In other words, if let's say she, in a moment of piety or something, she takes an oath that I'm not going to bathe, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to adorn myself. And he says, I don't want such a wife. She's going to be disgusting, going to be repulsive. And therefore, the Torah gave him the authority to nullify her vows. Well, here, hacha, tiskana v'tiskana. No, let her be repulsive and disgusting to him because then he'll get rid of her. And that's exactly what the halacha requires. And therefore, there's no reason to have the biblical halacha of allowing him to be mefer because, again, this is one of the penalties that we impose on her because we don't want the marriage to continue as halacha is that she's asa labayel and she's asa labal.